This podcast is brought to you by St. Joseph's Episcopal Church in Boynton Beach, Florida, in the United States of America. You can find us at stjoesweb.org. Come visit us when you are in town.
Let us pray. Gracious and loving God, we are not walking on the lake like Peter, but on another sea, for this world is a sea. Trials are its waves, temptations its storms, and we devouring each other as fishes do. Help us to step out bravely and not fear, else we sink. When the gale blows and the waves rise and our weakness makes us fear we will be lost, may we cry out, Lord, I am sinking. And you, Lord, who called us to walk, will not let us perish. And we are grateful. Amen. Please be seated if you are not already. In 1932, singer-songwriter Thomas Dorsey, not to be confused with Tommy Dorsey, was called away to sing at a revival. He was hesitant because his wife Nettie was about to give birth to their first child, but she encouraged him to go. And so he got in his Model A Ford and he drove himself to St. Louis. And on the very first night of the revival, he received a telegram of the horrible news that his wife, Nettie, had died in childbirth. He rushed home to his infant son, who later died also, and he buried them together, his wife and infant son, in the same casket. Out of his desolation, his despair, came the song that we just sang, Precious Lord. Through the storm, through the night, lead me on to the light. Take my hand, precious Lord, lead me home. Can you imagine? As a black man, Dorsey faced many storms, and he said once, I was thrown out of some of the best churches in America. He would go on to become known as the father of gospel music, he and Mahala Jackson, and as the mother, and said that he received countless letters saying how that song, Precious Lord, had helped so many people as it does today. He gave all the credit to God, and he found great peace in calling on the Lord in the midst of all of the storms in his life. When I was a little girl, I grew up next to the Intracoastal Waterway in Boynton, North Boynton. And where we lived, at the end of the road, there was a beach. And this was up right across from the Boynton Inlet. So it was the part of the Intracoastal that's very wide. And we had a little pram, a little rowboat down there. Unfortunately, that beach is all built up now. But it was a haven for children. And I remember many times going out in that little rowboat with one of my brothers or my sister. And one day, I think I must have been about 10 years old, I decided to take that rowboat out by myself. And so I paddled out, you know, it was a regular old rowboat, and I paddled out, and it was surprisingly easy. I felt really empowered. Got all the way out to the middle of the Intracoastal, and I was really pretty far from shore. So I decided to go back, and then I realized the reason that it was easy is the wind had been at my back. So turning around to go back home, it was really difficult. I remember rowing and rowing and rowing and struggling and struggling, and halfway back I began to panic because I just could hardly do it. And yet somehow I kept rowing and I made it back into shore. Thank God. Finally made it. We underestimate the storms in our lives sometimes, and yet I'm glad for that memory, for that experience. I should have known to ask for help, though, before setting out on what was really a pretty dangerous thing for a little girl to do. Well, that same beach and the adjacent seawall was a haven for me, especially in my adolescence. I'd go down there nearly every afternoon after school, and I'd sit on that seawall and just gaze out at the water. It was a still place, a silent place. I didn't know I was meditating. And I continue to find solace in this silence through centering prayer and in other ways. Silence, the sound of sheer silence within us, Christ within, is a calm amidst the storms and the difficulties in our life and is always there with us. A calm center that no one can take away, no matter what. Jarvis J. Masters knows a thing or two about finding that still center. He's the subject of a new book called The Buddhist on Death Row by David Sheff that depicts Jarvis's spiritual transformation in San Quentin prison. He's there now. Over the last 2 decades, they had a piece on NPR the other day about him as well. You may have heard it. He claims innocence. Many people agree with him. The case is very flawed, and it's being appealed and appealed. But meanwhile, still on death row, he has found calm in the silence and in helping others in the midst of that storm. Elijah, the prophet, found the silence too after fleeing from the evil Queen Jezebel, who wanted him killed for standing up to those who had worshipped Baal, for standing up and declaring the one true God. That's what happened just before the story we heard today. And after a day of running, he laid down and he prayed for death, feeling that he was no better than his ancestors. And an angel came and encouraged him to eat, and he obeyed, having strength for his journey, which lasted 40 days and 40 nights. Get that symbolism. And then at the end of that time, that wilderness period, he found the cave where we found him today. He heard what's described as a word from the Lord came to him while he was in that cave, calling him to stand on the mountain, for the Lord was about to pass by. And it was not in the mighty wind. It was not in the earthquake. It was not in the fire that Elijah saw God, but in the sound of sheer silence that followed. In the sound of sheer silence that followed all of the storms he had endured. And the calm after the storm in today's gospel is where the disciples also realize the presence of the Lord as well. You may know, or you may recall from Father Marty's sermon last week, where Jesus and his disciples were in their lives. Jesus was reeling from the murder of John the Baptist, his beloved cousin. And he had traveled and traveled to the other side of this lake to find some respite and some peace. He was probably burned out. He was fully human, we have to remember. And he gets there, the crowds come, and the story depicted last week is the famous story of the feeding of the 5,000. And he healed people all day long that day, as tired as he was. And then finally, we get to today's story, and he sent the disciples away on their own across the lake to go back to the other side on their own. And he dismissed the crowds and was able to be released and be by himself to finally commune with his Father in silence, probably cried, was able to grieve. He sent those disciples on ahead to the other side, to cross the lake by themselves, which gave them the opportunity to experience a new level of consciousness without his physical presence. And Jesus staying up on that mountain all night praying. And note that was before the storm that he was praying and in the silence. And then in the wee hours of the morning, the fourth watch, as it's called, before sunrise, he goes to the disciples who have been tossed by a storm all night, walking on the water. Well, they didn't recognize him, so much like us. How often has Jesus Christ presented himself to us through other people? And we don't even realize it. When Peter does recognize him, he still doubts and kind of tests Jesus by saying, "If it is you, then call me to come to you on the water." And Jesus says, "Come." And Peter does it. He does it until he doesn't. when he takes his eyes off Jesus and focuses on the storm and his fear, he sinks and cries out. Again, something so many of us often do, I know I do. We forget. We give it away to God and let go, and then we take it back, and we give it away, and we take it back, not realizing that total surrender is what brings us peace. And then what happened? Peter began to sink, cries out to be saved. Jesus snatches him up and said, Peter, you had this. Why did you doubt, O ye of little faith? Ye of little trust, as sometimes it's translated. Why did you doubt? He calms the storm then, gets into the boat with them, and all was well. No matter what, our Lord is with us too. We may not recognize him. We may take our eyes off of him. We may fear and doubt. And yet the Lord, the Word, is always very near us, on our lips and in our hearts, if we will but notice. As most of you know by now, we've been praying for the Power family, and I had a conversation with Jeff and Jen yesterday afternoon, parents of Kaylee and Colin, and they were in, if you don't know, they were in a horrific car accident in the Keys several weeks ago, and it's a miracle that they were able to even be taken out of that car by the firefighters and the emergency help. Thanks in no small part to Jen's brother, Troy, who happened to be behind them when the accident happened. It's a true miracle that they are still with us. Jeff was in an induced coma for 21 days. He was on a ventilator for 12 days, and he almost lost a leg. Their daughter Kaylee was on a ventilator for 5 days, and she also went through surgery, as did Jeff many times. Jennifer sustained a concussion, and Colin, while obviously traumatized, thankfully suffered no physical injuries. Neither Jennifer nor Colin were hospitalized, but obviously Jeff and Kaylee were there for a long time. When I spoke to them, they talked and talked and talked, and Jeff just told me that his faith deepened. He said he doesn't remember really crying out to the Lord, but felt that his faith was deepened and deepened because of all the people that were reaching out to him. People he said he hasn't heard of for 30 years, heard from in 30 years, people that he didn't even know, strangers sending him messages of prayer. They've been overwhelmed by the power of prayer, the power of the Lord, our Lord's healing and love through the body of Christ. And Jen tells of having to just let go, to trust in the Lord. And she did. And miracles happened. Talk about walking on water. She did. She says her friends and all who prayed pulled her through. And her trust in God never failed. Jeff, in recounting the myriad number of people who helped him, who helped his family, thanked all of us. And thanks, and so does Jen, thanks all of us for our steadfast prayer. We thank you all for continuing to be expressions of Christ on that water for them in the midst of their storm, in the midst of their storm. True witnesses for all of us. There are so many other storms many of us are weathering in these crazy COVID days. The unemployed, the hungry, the sick. Several of us volunteer up at Holy Redeemer each week. We prepare on Mondays, and then we deliver the food on Tuesdays to, on the average, about 205 families, so about 205 cars. They come through the line, we put the boxes in their trunks, so we're careful not to have contact with one another. Everybody is masked and maintains distance. Many of you have been there as the hands of Christ in the midst of the storm of all of these folks' lives. And I'd especially like to give a shout out to Audrey, who is the director of the Polanka Pantry at Holy Redeemer, and week in and week out, she coordinates for the food through Feeding South Florida and through our church. and also is there on Friday nights and on Saturday as well, feeding those in great need. Our church's involvement in Holy Redeemer has really been tremendous. And without Audrey and without your help, many more would be suffering. So thank you for being that calm, that presence of Christ in the midst of the storms. So take heart, my friends. The word of God, our Lord Christ, is very near, on our lips and in our hearts. Call out for help if you need it. And may each of us take the time to know and nurture that deep peace, that deep silence within ourselves. And then tell the good news, reaching out in prayer with a phone call or a letter, an actual written letter maybe. That would be something, huh? To tell people the good news of the love of God in Christ and to live as the body of Christ in the world. In closing, I offer you a prayer by Michael Lunig. Dear God, we struggle. We grow weary. We grow tired. We are exhausted. We are distressed. We despair. We give up. We fall down. We let go. We cry. We are empty. We grow calm. We are ready. We wait quietly. A small, shy truth arrives from without and within, arrives and is born, simple, steady, clear, like a mirror, like a flame, like a bell, like rain in summer. A precious truth arrives and is born within us, within our emptiness. We accept it. We observe it. We absorb it. We surrender to our bare truth. We are nourished. We are changed. We are blessed. We rise up. For this we give thanks. Amen.
Amen.